To the brightest audience in the country, I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. And we've got to talk about the sniper who got a suggestion that we'd like to make in the effort to catch this murderer. And we're glad that the military's gotten involved, at least with the surveillance plane. And North Korea has just admitted the existence of its formerly secret nuclear weapons program. What else is happening out there? Oh, yeah, Barbara Streisand wrote on her website that contrary to media reports, see, it's some of the some campaign ads have pointed out that Barbara Streisand defends Saddam Hussein, yet considers George W. Bush a dangerous dictator, which is funny. I got to admit, that's funny. And anyway, in her rebuttal to that on our website today, her website states, Ms. Streisand's deep opposition to the Iranian dictator Saddam Hussein is well known. So she just moved him over a country. So Saddam Hussein now is the dictator of Iran instead of Iraq. That's funny because Barbara has been making a lot of mistakes like that recently. Oh, and Saddam's, she might find comfort in the public support for Saddam in his own country. It's grown over the last 7 years. The election results are now in. And whereas 7 years ago, Saddam received 99.98% of the vote. Of course, there was no one running against him. There were a couple possible contenders, but he killed them all. So he was the only one on the ballot, and he won with a 99.98% margin. Well, support has increased in the last 7 years. He now has garnered 100% of the votes in the referendum held this week for a new 7 years in office. He's been in there 23 years now. And at a news conference today in Baghdad, one of Saddam's top deputies said that the voter turnout, you know, here in this country, sometimes it's 50% or whatever. In Iraq, there's really a lot of public, just good public mindset and patriotism. The turnout was 100%. So everyone voted, and they all voted for Saddam. They had about 12 million Iraqis were eligible to vote, and all they had to do was put their mark on either a yes or a no for another seven-year term, and they voted yes. I think a lot of them voted with their blood. That's what I heard. You know, you've heard the report. I think I saw this in Time magazine, was it? That over a period of months, Saddam would have blood taken. You know, a pint at a time or whatever, or how much you give when you donate blood. And a scribe used his blood to write out a complete copy of the Quran. So there's a copy of the Quran in Iraq that's written in Saddam's blood. And I heard in the news a couple weeks ago that some Iraqis were having their blood drawn at local hospitals and writing out support statements for Saddam, including his campaign slogans, in their own blood. So I wasn't too surprised to hear that maybe some of the Iraqi people voted for Saddam with their own blood instead of using ink. On the other hand, maybe they had a hard time. They might have a pen shortage. On the other hand, I'm not quite sure. But then, we've got a dinosaur that was found in Montana, and the dinosaur has all its skin. It's got its skin. That's pretty cool. And now it's fossilized, so it's turned into minerals. But it also has its stomach contents, which has also been fossilized. But that's pretty cool, and that's rather unique. You know, we Christian conservatives who reject evolution and believe that God created the earth in the recent past, we love scientific discoveries because time after time after time, they confirm our worldview and the way we say things are over and over and over. And they give a challenge usually to the evolutionists because things don't make sense based on the evolutionary time frame and theories. So anyway, maybe later in the show we'll get to the dinosaur found in Montana, found a while ago, but just reported on at a conference just this week. Oh, yeah, and my son Nathaniel, my 16-year-old son Nathaniel, was watching a public TV program. You know, PBS had a TV show about the anti-missile program we've got in this country that Ronald Reagan started, the Missile Defense Agency, where if some rogue Soviet, you know, former Soviet republic falls into the control of some terrorist leader, mad dictator, or some terrorist group purchases the firing of an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, if we have a missile defense shield, we hopefully will be able to shoot down an incoming missile. And the world is getting more countries, not fewer, that have missile technology. It's growing. It's becoming more doable and more affordable. So even for rogue nations, it's becoming a possibility. So anyway, this public television program, the whole, and I saw some of it with him, with Nathaniel, and the program basically said that we can't do it. And the couple times we sort of said we did do it in tests, we hadn't really done it because it was total cheating and all this. So anyway, and that was it. And I said to my son, I said, Nathaniel, the early test, it was mostly controlled by outside radar and it was easy because this is a wildly complex task. Trying to shoot down a missile with a missile, to hit, to kill, not send up an explosion, but actually hit it. Missiles go way faster than bullets do. And imagine how hard it would be to hit a bullet with a bullet. That'd be hard, right? That sort of gives you an idea how hard this is. And so anyway, they ended the program basically saying that our tests were a failure. So I said to my son, I said, well, this program seems like it's out of date because we've had a number of successes in the past half a year or so. We were trying to figure out when the program was made because they talked about 9/11 as though, you know, it were a long time ago. So it must be somewhat recent. Anyway, just yesterday we had another successful test, the fourth in a row, 5 out of 7 tests where we successfully shot down an incoming missile. This was a Minuteman missile shot out of the Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. And we took it out with a missile we shot. 6 minutes later, the missile was 140 miles up above the earth and a kill. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yurt Live. When we get back, we'll get to your calls when we get back on the show. But this is a commercial break, and I'd like to give you the phone number, our order line. So if you like the program, you'd like to get more of, well, what is it that we believe that we teach here at Bob and Yurt Live? Well, I get to pastor Denver Bible Church, and there we study the Bible. That's why we call it Denver Bible Church. And we've got audio tape Bible studies that go through the Bible. Well, you start out with tapes on the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. And then you get to different topical issues like predestination and free will, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We go through Genesis, the creation, the fall, the flood, and Exodus, the Exodus story, the law that God gave in the book of Exodus, the New Testament, the Gospels, through to the epistles of Paul, the book of Revelation. It's fun stuff. And we have these available on audio tape, and there are a couple ways you can get them. You could just call up 1-888-836-9278 and chat with us about what interests you, and we'll probably recommend that you start out with an overview of the Bible. So you can order that album called The Plot for $29.95, or once a month, you can get an album every month mailed to you automatically for $34.95 a month. Now, that includes shipping and handling. $34.95 every month we send you an album. Or you can get the monthly Bible study tapes, four tapes each month mailed to you for $24.95. And this is all money-back guarantee. So if you like the show, you want to help us continue and learn more, give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. And for those tuning in via the internet, let me tell you about a couple other albums we have. We have one of the albums you'd get if you sign up for the monthly albums. It's called James and Jude. James and Jude, Jesus brothers. Jesus had brothers, right? Did he have any sisters? Yeah, he had sisters too. At least that's what the Gospels say. And James was one of the Lord's brothers. James, like in Galatians, when Paul says, well, I didn't go to Jerusalem to see any of those 12 apostles. He said, oh, yeah, after a few years, I went and I saw Peter just for 2 weeks, and I saw James, the Lord's brother. And James is one of the Lord's brothers that we read in the Gospels, and so is Judah, or Jude, and the Epistle of Jude. So James and Jude, Jesus' brothers. Sort of fun. So anyway, you could get that album, too. So for some, I don't know how they did it, but PBS left out public broadcasting. They left out the successful and astounding test of, you know, the last half year. I don't know how they did that. Somehow they just left it out. You know, liberals are against missile defense. You know why liberals are against missile defense? Why don't liberals want to shoot down incoming nuclear missiles? Why are they against that? Well, it's because we conservatives have been selling it wrong. We've been telling them that one missile can kill a million people or more. They don't care about that. They're pro-abortion. They don't care. We need to talk about animals, not people. We need to tell them that a missile defense shield will save animals. Few endangered species can survive a direct nuclear hit. You think the spotted owl will be okay if San Francisco gets nuked? What do you think would happen to the spotted owl? I tell you, Boston's clean air policy will be right out the window with one missile. Forget the clean air policy. So these liberals, they would sign up for the nuclear shield. They'd pay for it out of the EPA budget. They'd pay for it. All we have to do is tell them that a nuclear weapon, what would a nuclear missile do to the greening of America, right? It would increase global warming. It would make the ozone hole bigger. It would destroy trees. We need a missile defense shield to keep this planet green and reduce global warming, fill that ozone hole, and save trees. Hey, if pot can do all that, certainly a missile defense shield can. All right, let's go to the phones. Our number, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I think this says at DIA, at Denver International Airport. John, speak your mind.
Yes, sir. You are right. How are you?
All right. We've got a call from the airport. Now, are you just passing through, or are you an employee?
I am an employee, sir, ramp serviceman of DIA.
All right. Ramp serviceman, reporting for duty. What's up, sir?
Yes, I've been listening to your show for the past few days, and I totally agree about what you say about the youth groups. About the youth groups, about how they have young boys and young girls there.
Yeah, and all the trouble that comes from church youth groups, and really the teenage girls are used as bait, a marketing opportunity to get the teenage boys there. And unfortunately, not everything that happens is is reported to the congregation.
Right. Well, are most of those youth people, the youth leaders, are most of them male, you think, too? Because most of the ones I see are male, right?
Yeah, the vast majority of youth leaders are men.
Do you think that the young girls might also be there for also because those the youth pastors like the admiration and the adoration that those girls provide, and because they like feeling that they have a really deep spiritual connection with them?
Well, basically, I guess what I hear you doing is calling into question some of the motivation of some of the youth leaders.
Right. What do you think that we might there might be something to that, or?
Well,
I was thinking about this last night.
Well, you're sort of tempting me to tell a story that if I tell it, I will regret it. But I have a big mouth, and I'm an extrovert, and I can keep almost nothing to myself.
Well, keep it between you and me and whoever else is listening.
Okay. Good point, John. We have a very small audience, so I should be safe here. Okay. I know a church that was starting up a youth group, and at our church, Denver Bible Church, we don't like youth groups. You know, the Bible doesn't suggest that you get dozens or hundreds of teenagers together on a regular basis. It's just a generally silly idea. So anyway, a church was starting up a youth group, and I was aware of the church, and I made a prediction to a couple of the families at that church. I said, well, before long, the youth minister who's single is going to be dating one of the girls in the group. And that happened. And, you know, she was old enough that it wasn't immoral or anything. But some of the families at that church felt very awkward with their daughters in the youth group. And it's just like if you send your kids, you know, your daughter to a local school, and she's maybe, say she's 18, and the teacher's 40, and then he asks her out on a date. It sort of makes things just uncomfortable. And so anyway, some of the families came back to me, this was 6 months later, and said, Bob, how did you predict that? That it happened. How in the world could you possibly predict that one? Well, it's because I've been around and I've been looking at youth groups for 25 years. And the youth leaders, you know, they want to help kids, but also it's a stepping stone. It's a career move for a lot of youth leaders. They want to eventually be pastors and senior pastors. And, you know, young men enjoy being around teenage girls.
Of course.
And it's, you know, men generally enjoy being around women, and it's just not the best environment. And so, and it seems to be me almost ubiquitous and universal that youth leaders lack wisdom when it comes to having teenage boys and teenage girls hanging out together. You know, the one church I'm thinking of, they'd have, you know, fun things to do, sort of like physical games where the kids are almost wrestling.
Uh-oh.
Together. And the girls.
Man.
And the girls sitting on the couch that's at the church as part of the group on the boys' laps. You know,
and usually they're wearing short skirts and they're still
well, whatever.
Their
we don't,
stomach and their well, navel
we,
and all that.
Well, we don't have to get too descriptive, John.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
Okay, apology accepted. So anyway, generally, bad idea. But, hey, how's the airport doing?
Oh, it's doing great. I think United Airlines is going to keep on holding on.
Well, that sounds good. Hey, can I give you guys at Denver International Airport a heads up, a security warning?
Sure. We'd appreciate it.
All right,
always appreciate it.
Let me tell you what's going on. You've heard of, there's a trucking company, a nationwide trucking company that operates out of Denver also. And to get into their yard with their trucks, there's a security guard and a gate, and you can't get in unless you're an employee. Well,
right.
Well, one of our listeners called in a story, and he said, Bob, I drive a truck for this company, and I was driving in, and there was nobody in the security booth, no guard. And so I parked the truck, and I went looking around, calling for the guard. I'm yelling. I go around the back of the booth, and here's the guard on his face on the ground, pointing generally east with his backside toward California, and he's a Muslim on a rug praying to Mecca.
Oh man.
And so the driver got a bit upset and he said, you know, we're supposed to have security here. So he went to go report him, and of course nobody really cared. But a day later they told him, don't worry, because the company he works for has just transferred him to security at the airport. He's now working at DIA.
Oh, boy.
So keep your eyes open for any security guards on the ground.
Believe me, I will. I will. Thank you very much, sir, for that warning.
Pass the word, John. We appreciate your call. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And that's a true story. All right. Hey, one of the things with this missile defense, you know, I'm so glad that this test was a success. We know an engineer who's been involved in the development of the technology to shoot down missiles. And occasionally he's given an update, a report at Denver Bible Church to the congregation. You know, nothing secret, just what's known publicly. But since he's part of the project, it's fun to hear how things are going. And I used to work for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache helicopter. So I was thrilled, of course, when the Gulf War started out with half a dozen Apaches flying in under the radar, under cover of darkness, and took out Saddam's primary air defenses in Baghdad to start the war. That was cool. That was really neat. But so anyway, we just have a special interest in our missile defense efforts. And the liberals, of course, are against them. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we talk about, you know, how do you solve all kinds of problems, including getting liberals to support missile defense. So just talk about animals and trees, not saving people. As soon as you talk about saving human beings with a liberal, you're not going to get anywhere. Just focus on the spotted owl and some kind of a snail darter, and then you'll probably get them on your side. Anyway, the liberals have also said it's undoable. We can't do it. We can't shoot down incoming missiles. It's too hard. And remember the Patriot missile in the Gulf War, and we deployed a couple banks in Israel and the incoming Scuds, right? Incoming Scuds. I'll pass up the opportunity to make a joke about incoming Scuds. But anyway, the Patriot, it didn't do all that well, but it wasn't designed as an anti-missile weapon. They were using it they had modified it quickly to try to get it to work. Well, now Israel has a system that's been designed from the ground up with our help as an anti-missile system. And Israel will become the first nation in the world to have a fully deployed national anti-missile defense system within a year or so. That's really cool. They already have their system up and operational, and we may find out over the next couple months if it works. I'm glad that George W. Bush has assured the world today that if Saddam attacks Israel, Israel will respond. That's good. I like that. Now, what could Israel do that we're not going to do? Because, you know, we'll start the war with hundreds of cruise missiles. And 10 years ago, we didn't have all the smart bombs we have today. I think 2% of the bombs we dropped 10 years ago were smart bombs. Right? In World War II, how many bombs would we dedicate to one target? Say a target was a hangar on an airfield. How many bombs would we dedicate for that target? Well, what I've read is 650. Today, one plane targets half a dozen different targets. Okay, it's live radio. What do you want from me? Live radio. Hey, this is a commercial break. And you, if you're listening to this break, you've tuned in via the internet, or someone has made a copy of this for you on a CD. So one way or the other, if you're on listening at kgov.com, you could just go on our website and see our phone number, 1-888-836-9278, to call in and order one of our videos. We've got fun videos like Mount Moriah, the historic and geographic evidence for the resurrection, God and the death penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment. How about a Bible tour of Israel? Oh, that is so much fun. A Bible tour of Israel. That's a fun video. It really is. And, because have you been to Israel? Let me ask people in our studio audience. Have any of you guys been to Israel? Israel. Okay. We got no's. Got to get yeses. All right. Well, it looks like 50-50. A meds, a meds. A CSC. We've got, this is pretty good. We've got a well-traveled audience in general. And here in the studio, we've got 50-50 people been to Israel. But for those who have, even if you have, but if you haven't been to Israel, of course you could get a book on Israel. You could watch TV shows about Israel. But this is a Bible tour of Israel. This is rather unique in that through this two-hour video, you will basically travel the land of Israel and go to the major sites that Christians want to go to. And at each site, see, hear about the evidence that's existing till today that supports the story of the Bible. That's cool. Now, the Bible tells a story, and the story can be either true or false, as any story can be true or false. Well, if the story is false, then there's not much reason to take the message seriously. Right? Does that make sense? If the Bible tells a story about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and the Jews being slaves in Egypt, and if all that is a lie, then there's no compelling reason to take the moral behind the story seriously. But what if the evidence is there that it's all true? We're back, 1-800-836-9278. We're going to go to the phones here. But so the liberals have said that a missile defense shield is undoable. You can't do it. But why is it that our enemies, I'm not talking about the Democrats right now, like the communists, why are they so much against America building a missile defense shield if you can't do it? If it's just going to be a waste of money, they'd be all for us doing it. The communists have more faith in American ingenuity, know-how, than does the American media and the liberals. So anyway, we've got, this was the fifth successful intercept, the fourth in a row in seven flight tests since October 1999. That's cool. Let's go to Littleton, Colorado. Dale, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I just heard on the radio the statistics on the smart bomb. They said during the Gulf War, 8% of our bombs were smart bombs.
8%? You just heard that. Well, thank you. You know what? I'm recording that right now. I'm taking your word for it.
And they said they're up to 65% now.
8% versus 65%.
65%, yeah.
And have you heard anything about the statistic I mentioned? I have read that during World War II, we would send 650 bombs per target.
I had an uncle that flew. He helped level Dresden, and they were all dumb bombs, and they just dumped them, opened the bay, and dumped them as best they could.
Right,
24 hours a day. Yeah, I don't know the exact statistics.
Yeah, and I'm not.
They were not that accurate.
No, they weren't. And I'm not sure how big of a target, if a target was a factory.
Right.
But
bombing in that way did destroy the endangered species too.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah, good point. Yeah.
So the other point why I called is is youth groups. I put my sons in the Boy Scouts on purpose. One of the main reasons was to separate them from girls because I firmly believe that young boys need to be separated from girls at an early age so they could learn to be boys and men and become civilized because they are different from girls.
Isn't that exciting to hear? And, you know, we've always supported the Boy Scouts at Denver Bible Church. We have a young man who's just, you know, come up to the pulpit recently, and I got to award him one of his badges in front of the congregation. And, right, the Boy Scouts, hey, you're going to get guys together to learn how to be upright, moral, and learn skills that you need for just being prepared and survival.
And I was a scoutmaster for 14 years, so I could tell you.
Yeah.
Boys are more comfortable being around boys. They learn better. They're less distracted. And when girls come up, like on a campsite, if there's a family camping or, you know, where a Boy Scout troop is or anything, things change dramatically.
Of course. The social dynamic when you have men and women together is completely different than when it's just men.
Yeah.
And, Dale, if we extend that, now I hope you don't mind me taking this conversation in another direction, but how the Boy Scouts have come under fire because they don't allow homosexual scoutmasters,
right,
for
and
example.
With the current leadership, they are not going to allow it. I know.
Yeah.
I know the national chief scout executive, and he and his people that he has surrounded himself with will allow scouting to become one-tenth its size.
Before they allow homosexuals.
They will not do it. That's not even open for discussion.
Right. Before they will allow homosexual men.
Or godless.
Or godless atheists to start.
Or girls. You know, they have a program for girls for an older one.
But let's talk about this for a moment with the sexual dynamic that enters into a social environment when they're boys and girls or men and women. That's one of the problems with homosexuality is that as soon as the society accepts homosexuality, you can have no social function that has no sexual tension.
Right.
From there on out, if it's in a locker room, at a school, a basketball team, on a submarine, on a camping trip, all of a sudden there will be leering eyes at others in environments where, you know, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want sexual tension when a bunch of guys get together.
I've had older scouts over the years ask me, well, what's your opinion of gays? What's your opinion of homosexuals? And the first thing I tell them is, I've worked with many of them, and they're very nice people, but I have got to tell you, all of them that are my age that I've known over the years, except for one, are dead. And the one that's left that I know is currently on a drip line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and why don't people tell them the truth about these things?
Right. Very obviously, very unhealthy, very destructive, alcoholism, drug abuse. And the liberals, as soon as you say that, the liberals say, well, that's because society condemns them. Well, I don't know what society these liberals are a part of, but the only one condemned in, you know, say primetime TV is the conservative Christian.
Right.
We're condemned. We're mocked by the media and just in general.
Yeah, and I don't mean to jump on church groups, but again, I've heard some of my older scouts over the years starting to tell jokes, and I'd listen and say, where did you hear these jokes? And they'd look at me and they'd say, at our church youth group. We learn everything there.
Right.
And some of the stories they tell me just made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, so the neat thing.
I mean, they were liberal Methodist youth, you know, Presbyterian and but it was disgusting.
Yeah, and there's conservative and liberal churches, and the liberal churches are worse than just flat-out atheist pagans.
They're worse than the Democrats, because at least you know where the Democrats stand.
Good point. That's a great point. Hey, Dale, thank you so much.
Have a good night.
I really appreciate your call. Our number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So the liberals and the communists have said that well, no, the liberals, said that we couldn't do it. We couldn't shoot down a bullet with a bullet. And, you know, we're doing it. And we have now demonstrated this hit-to-kill technology, this intercept and destroy against long-range ballistic missiles repeatedly. And, you know, until now, the tests have focused only on a certain aspect of that goal. They call them EKVs, exo-atmospheric kill vehicles. You know, military comes up with these interesting names. And until now, all they tried to do was locate, track, and intercept the target. And you know, they try to destroy it using body-to-body impact. But this current test integrated space and ground-based sensors and radars and the radar and targeting system on the kill vehicle itself. And it was cued by an early warning radar to provide more detailed target location data. And this really was a sophisticated test. And in fact, and so the liberals have said, oh, yeah, well, what if the missile, what if it includes decoys? And then, like they said on public television, there's no way we could possibly detect which is the real warhead and which are the decoys. Well, in this test, the Minuteman, it had with it, it basically split into five objects, three of which were decoys. And the kill vehicle identified the warhead, the true missile, and destroyed it. Let's go to the phones. In Colorado, Mary, speak your mind. No? K-Man. Who's K-Man? What does that mean? K-Man.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I didn't recognize the name K-Man. Sorry about that, K-Man.
Well, hey, that's not a problem. It's just kind of a cool name.
Yeah, okay.
For Kingdom Man.
Kingdom Man.
Yes, sir.
Kingdom Authority.
You know that's right. Amen?
Amen. So what's up,
kingdom,
K-Man?
The kingdom of God is at hand. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, sir.
Amen, K-Man.
Well, hey, amen, K-Man. Have a good ride.
All right.
I like you. You're all right. I like you, Bob.
Well, what's up?
Well, hey, I really appreciate your show, and I thank Jesus for your show. And I was looking forward to you being able to be on for 1 hour. And praise Jesus, got my wish, huh?
Yeah, we used to be on a half hour, and right in the middle of the show, it would end. And so now the whole program is airing in Denver, Colorado on KLT, 670 AM. We're thrilled.
Oh, that's sweet, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, well, praise Jesus for that. Hey, I just want to make a quick comment about the youth group and stuff.
Yes, sir.
I have been involved with the youth group ministry and stuff, and I want to just let you know that there are people that the Lord calls in the youth ministry for the purpose of doing what should be done, is to disciple and to be a good influence, and also the Spirit of God to ignite these kids and excite them for Jesus. Amen.
K-Man?
K-Man, that's amen.
K-Man, let me ask you a question. I agree that as adults, we do need to lead young people and be examples to them so that they would become, you know, young and strong men and women of God. But I just think it's a generally unwise idea to have young boys and girls, teenagers, together over a period of time, meeting on a regular basis. But if you'd like to hold on, we'll talk about it. K-Man? Amen? Hey, man. Hey, that's fun. I'm so glad K-Man called in, because this is the commercial break, by the way. Bob and you're live. You get more than you bargain for. The commercials come, you get show stuff. But when we get back to the show, I'm glad K-Man called in, because so far everybody who's called in has agreed with what I thought was going to be a very radical statement that youth groups are a generally bad idea. So I'm glad that K-Man is calling in to take the other side and say in his church, it's a good thing. So we'll talk about it. Now, let's see here. I'm supposed to do a commercial because otherwise we go bankrupt. So, and it's a live commercial. So let me tell you about our manuscript, The Plot. Now, if you don't like to read, this is 320 pages, and they're long pages. These are not, you know, double-spaced, wide margin kind of, you know, you pay a lawyer $4,000 and he gives you double-spaced, wide margin so that it looks like it's a lot of work. This is not that. This is 320 pages of font, you know, 12 size Times Roman and normal pages, 8.5 by 11, double-sided, a lot of reading about the Bible, an overview of the whole Bible. And it's fun. And there's a money-back guarantee. If you haven't read The Plot, if you have, you're probably one of the many who have bought more than one copy and given copies to your friends. And thank you for that, by the way. And hey, I just got a call from a detective who gave a copy of The Plot, gave his own copy to a friend. And the friend read about halfway through and ordered his own copy because he said he wanted to savor and enjoy it and not rush through because it was a borrowed copy. I was so thrilled about that. That was such a neat story. But if you order The Plot, 320 pages, enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, if you don't feel like you've learned so much about the overview of the whole Bible, then we'll refund your money. But if you're not the kind that likes to read a long book, then we've got it on audio tape. Order The Plot album. Either way, we hope you like it. We're back, 1-800-836-9278. I'm Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and this is our nightly call-in talk show. Airs every night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, weeknights, right here on this station and on the internet at KGOV.com. And I'm so glad that K-Man called in, because so far everybody's agreed and with this rather radical statement that youth groups are basically a bad idea. But, K-Man, you're saying you guys are having a good experience.
Absolutely.
How long has your youth group been in operation?
Well, I'm right now, I've been, because I was working, I kind of got out a little bit, but God will back into it. But it's been, there's a certain way you just got to conduct it and stuff. And the leaders have been very serious and stuff. And then you have your ushers, and they monitor the kids in the areas and let them know, hey, no touching, no none of that. And as a matter of fact, yeah. The Lord has graced where at least about 15 to 20 kids have been saved outside, even I think youth group, when they've been asked to go up to receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and someone wouldn't, and others that were kind of dragging behind, they received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior later. And I literally watched the Lord work in their lives and start to change them stuff. They still did a few little things, but we go ahead and correct them stuff. So,
well, how long has your youth group been going? Do you know?
Well, the youth group and stuff, I'm not the head of and stuff, but the youth group has been going for a while. Actually, it's a youth group at the Heritage Christian Center.
All right. And how many kids?
It can range anywhere from, about 75, maybe even 500 kids during a special event.
75 kids up to as many as 500.
That's just a rough guess.
Yeah. All right, right. Now, I would be shocked if we talked to those kids and if we asked some of them, does the youth group ever function as a meat market? I would be shocked if they said no.
Well, see, that's where we come in, where we would come in and to make sure that that wasn't the case and stuff. And if kids were acting that way, someone would be kicked out if necessary. So,
how about in the parking lot?
On the parking lot and stuff?
Yeah, or at the local, you know, movie theater after the youth group lets out.
Well, have. I don't know what they might do out there and stuff. Well, I have an idea what they might do, but
if they apply
what we've taught them as the spiritual guides led us at, in the youth group,
right?
They won't be doing that stuff. And if they are and stuff, we'll generally, you know, we just go from there. But we figure that when they're there and stuff, we're to go ahead and be used by the Spirit Living God to direct them the way they need to be directed and stuff. And I would see it as, you know, while they're there, they, you know, it's good for them to behave and stuff and to do the right thing and stuff and encourage them to do the right thing. And what was interesting, didn't deal with each one of the kids the same way.
Some
kids I'd be maybe a little strict with. Other ones I'd, you know, pull them aside and say, hey, you know, the Lord really has a call of God up on your life. And if you just do this and do that and stuff, you know, the Lord can really use you, Miley. And you know what? A lot of those kids just hear that. And when they receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, they just literally change. They literally change. And sometimes it's just a matter of speaking to their lives. Ask the Lord to give us the speaking to their lives to ignite them. And words could just ignite them to walk in what the call of God is in their life. And there's some kids.
Hey, K-Man. All these stories that you're telling about the good intentions of the youth ministers, that's pretty much true of virtually every youth group in the country, and that some kids have gotten saved, that's pretty much true of, you know, the vast majority of youth groups in the country. I shared my concerns with a man who was starting a youth group at his church a couple years ago. And I shared with him my concerns of what was likely to happen under his leadership. And pretty much everything that I shared, all the concerns I shared, that he assured me that with them being aware of the dangers and having wisdom and knowing how to deal with youth, these things wouldn't happen. They all happened. For example, the youth group is canceled because it's a holiday. So the kids in the youth group, children of families in the church, they don't tell their parents the youth group's canceled. So they meet at the church. Then they go to the local park, and they pair up into their boyfriends and girlfriends, and they get high with drugs. That's just a youth group meeting where the youth minister didn't show up. And so that's why we don't encourage relationships between teenage boys and teenage girls. We discourage that because it's like playing with fire. And for the youth minister to say, I can play with fire and the kids will not be burned. I can dance with the bear and the kids will not be mauled. I think they're strong enough to stand and they will not fall. I think that's a lack of wisdom. And I don't think God would approve of us encouraging teenage boys and teenage girls to get together on a regular basis and develop friendships. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, if you don't mind, if K-Man make a statement on that, what I would respond with that is by greater fire with that fire, Holy Ghost fire with that little fire. You know what I mean? Because you know what happens when the Spirit of Living God really hits a kid and you're speaking to their life and they see what they've been called for, and they realize it, and the Spirit of God ignites them.
K-Man, you talking about the same Holy Spirit that came on David? The same Holy Spirit that filled David? And then he saw Bathsheba, and something filled him, and he went for her too. So the Holy Spirit in a 14-year-old girl's life is not any guarantee that she's not going to be seduced by the 17-year-old boy that you introduced her to.
Well, you know what? I do have to agree with that strongly there, my brother in your heart there.
All right. Well, thank you, K-Man. Thank you.
But you know, I still do like you. But you know what? When the Spirit of Living God really grabs somebody, you know what David did? David used a little indiscretion stuff. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost's fault.
It wasn't God's fault, but I wouldn't call adultery and murder a little indiscretion. That's like Bill.
A lot of indiscretion.
That's like
I was a little
K-Man, that's like Bill Clinton saying he had an inappropriate relationship with Monica Lewinsky. It's inappropriate to use your salad fork on your main course. He didn't have an inappropriate relationship.
He
was an adulterer.
He did not only smoke, but he also inhaled it also.
Good
but that
point.
Still doesn't leave the point that the thing is that he was supposed to be out in war, and he wasn't in war. And see, the thing is that, that's what happened with him. It was a time when,
How about
they were
Peter?
Supposed to be on war, and they was out of position. So that's the reason why we got to be in position where we need to be.
Well, how about the Apostle Peter when Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then Peter,
upon this rock.
And then Peter went on to deny Christ. So, hey, praise the Lord that we save young people and the Holy Spirit fills them, but that doesn't mean I'm going to lead them into temptation.
That's true, but what happened to Peter afterwards, my brother? What happened to Peter when the Holy Ghost came upon him? He was electrified, was he not?
Yeah, and he
Did
never 3, started.
3,000 people come to Jesus at that point?
Amen, and he never started a youth group, and he never wrote that we should get hundreds of teenagers to hang out together.
No, he didn't write that, but you know what? A lot of teenagers were infected by what the Spirit of the Lord God manifested upon them. Amen.
The Bible's a big book.
It's a huge book, and you know what? It's not huge, but it's relative for today, yesterday, and forevermore. Amen.
And it's small print, double-sided pages. You know, it's a big book, and it never once says, and get all the kids together. Let the kiddies be peer leaders for one another.
But what it does say is this: go on all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. Those who believe not will be damned.
Did I say we shouldn't preach to young people?
Nah, but you know what?
Okay, so what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is this.
Come on.
You know I do like you. You ain't heavy. You my brother. You know that?
Hey, wait a minute. Is that a Bible verse?
Well, I not necessarily.
But it's true, isn't it?
One of those radical songs. You know what I mean?
It's not a Bible verse, but it's true. He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
He ain't heavy. You my brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. K-Man, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you very much, and the blood of Jesus cover you, amen. Thank you very much for your point.
Amen on that, K-Man. Amen on that. All right. Well, that was an interesting conversation. And those in the audience got to hear both sides of the argument. And I agree that youth groups get people saved. You know how I know that? Because I started a youth group in the early 70s called Agape Kingdom in New Jersey, and I was saved in a youth group. Youth for Christ, Campus Life, in our high school. And the New Jersey director of Campus Life, Ron Hutchcraft, really a neat, great Christian man. He did a fundraising dinner that my family and all the adults we know went to this fundraising dinner. And he asked, and he gave the example of if you save a kid, how many other kids can come to the Lord through one kid? And he mentioned Agape Kingdom, the youth group that we started in my friend's home. And he said, how many kids here at this dinner, because people brought their kids to the fundraising dinner, how many kids here have come to Christ, have been saved, become Christians through the ministry of Agape Kingdom? And my father was not a Christian at that dinner. He became a Christian a couple years later. And he was blown away when all over the room, dozens of kids stood up. They became Christians through this youth group started by kids. So I know that kids could get saved through youth ministry. And I also know all the sexual immorality that was going on in the youth groups. I know that part too. And I know that we should have Christian adults with the wisdom to keep the boys and girls separate. You know, we don't have to be freaky about it. You go to church and they're boys and girls and they say hello and they get to know each other in the context of their parents and family all around. And we have church picnics and they talk to one another. But do we want, 20 teens to one adult and all the teens be encouraged? No, we don't want that peer pressure. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences, gay man.